The Majority Report, where the truth comes to party. BS need not apply. BS tried to apply, but we rejected its application. The left just got a little bit louder on The Majority Report.
All right, it is Wednesday, December 1st, 2001. Excuse me. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow. The New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. And I've got to tell you folks right off the bat today, this could be a rocky one. I have some type of stomach virus. And for those of you on the Sammy Cam live, you may see me vomit again. We're starting a couple minutes late. Most of you podcast this program, so it's irrelevant to you. What will be relevant is my throwing up in the middle. And I promise you, if that happens, we will cut some of it. Definitely we'll let you know what's happening, but I will not force you to listen to the entire exercise, as it were. quite a day, many topics to discuss. We have two guests on today, Joe Sudbay from the blog America Blog, to talk about the latest in Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which, of course, is going to be... I mean, I have a theory about this, but according to the Republicans, nothing will get done unless the Democrats in the Senate bow to their will. And their will, of course, being to cut taxes for millionaires. We will discuss that and specifically how it will impact Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the long-awaited 8-month or 10-month in the making report from the military on the possibility of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Getting rid of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is out, and wow!
Surprise, surprise!
Nobody gives a crap. In the military,
surprise,
that's doubly, I guess. Apropos, as Jim Nabors played a Marine, Gomer Pyle. And apparently the military, just not that big of a deal. Just not a big deal. And we will talk more about that with with Joe Sudbay. Apparently, though, the Marines are the one branch that where I think there was a majority that had discomfort with it. And according to, this is one of the funniest quotes I've read. I'm going to ask Joe about this as well. But, excuse me, folks. When I cough, I'm trying not to vomit. This was the, one of the funniest quotes in the New York Times story. When the Marine Commandant at the time, General James T. Conway, was asked for an explanation about Marine resistance to repeal, he responded that it was difficult to answer, but, quote, "We recruit a certain type of young American, a pretty macho guy or gal."
Surprise, surprise!
Yes, let's talk more about those macho gals that have a problem with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The Deficit Commission, which, of course, we talked about yesterday, with that, and, you know, I listened to the podcast on Stitcher. We just started with this new service, Stitcher, where you download the app and you can go to majority.fm. And you can, if you scroll down, you can see their ad on the right. They don't pay us anything for the ad. They just carry us, and we'll try it out. So I downloaded the app, I think you can listen to the show live that way, too. Can you, Dorsey?
I'm going to find out right now because I'm downloading it to my Android.
Okay, well, there you go. You can get it for your Android, too. And it's a really convenient way to just listen to that day's podcast on the fly. And so I was listening to the show, and I was listening as I was coming in, and I was getting mad at Alan Simpson all over again. I mean, I was steaming on the subway, just steaming. And this guy is just unbelievable. And, of course, they have now leaked their report. Now, the way it was supposed to work was there was an executive order that the commission was supposed to report, send its report to Congress on December 1st, which meant that it must have been voted on and approved by 14 out of 18 commissioners. And so what happened? Well, today's December 1st. The report's leaked, but it hasn't been voted upon because these morons. No, this is smart, actually. They're cretins. They are vampires. I don't know how else to put this. These blood-sucking vampires who want to essentially take money from the middle class and distribute it upwards. I don't know how else to... I mean, I feel awkward saying that, but that's what these guys are. I think it's actually possible, though. I mean, that Simpson is actually a real vampire. You know? He's extremely old. But he, you know, he's looked old for years. Right? I mean, even when he was like in, like, as a senator, he looked like one of those guys who's always the same age.
He looks like Nosferatu a little bit.
Right.
He does have that skeleton.
And supposedly his dad was senator before he was senator. And I say supposedly because that's exactly what you'd do if you were a vampire and you wanted to be senator for like 40 years but didn't want anybody to know that you were a vampire. Because this guy was basically handed his Senate seat by his father. You know, a real bootstraps guy. You know what I mean? One of these guys who's really sacrificed his whole life. I wonder if this guy, who said that people who pay into Social Security and then get their Social Security insurance back are essentially teat suckers, as I mentioned yesterday, I wonder whose teat he's sucking off of. And I'm not talking in a lurid fashion. I'm just saying that when this guy left the Senate after getting a Senate seat because his daddy was a senator, I wonder what he did. Do you think it involved any lobbying of any of his former colleagues? Do you think he was sucking the teat of government, securing somebody some type of government contracts? I'd be willing to bet Myla's entire trust fund, my daughter's massive trust fund that I've been establishing for her over the years, that this guy has been sucking off the teat of our tax dollars. But when it comes time for us to get our Social Security insurance back, it's time for sacrifice. And so this vampire, releases his commission report without the vote, even though when they vote on this at the end of the week, it's going to get shot down, so that the the report lives, even though it's a totally illegitimate report. That's the way they play this game. That's why he leaked it. You know, he gave a memo 2 or 3 weeks ago, because people now talk about that memo as if this is the report. This is basically one or two guys, two foes of Social Security, coming out with a report. Nothing else. They have no other credibility. Zero. Zero. Dorsey may as well release a report. Evan may as well release a report. And frankly, it's going to have a lot more credibility with me. And it should have more credibility with just about anybody else. This is bullshit. It really is bullshit, because you know the way the media is going to cover this. I'm going on Parker Spitzer tonight. I guarantee you they refer to this as the report. This is not a report. This is as if someone's writing on a napkin in a diner and saying, how can we screw over the middle class? Period. That's it. They don't even have the legitimacy of their own farce. And one of the goals, I think, of this farce, as written in the released farce, I don't have it here somewhere. It was basically, here it is, the goals section. Reform Social Security for its own sake, not deficit reduction. That's not even part of their mandate. And nobody in the media is going to say a word because they don't give a shit about Social Security either. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Joe Sudbay of America Blog, who will then get me pissed off about the fact that the Republicans are standing in the way. I mean, talk about just, this is just out and out. This is just out and out homophobia. This is just out and out homophobia, folks, at this point. And the funny part about it is they can't pretend anymore. I don't know if that's the funny part. I don't know if I would describe that as funny. Vaguely amusing part. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Shut up!
Hey, we're back. We had a little technical difficulties, including my stomach bud. Joe Sudbay from America Blog. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Thanks, Sam.
Joe, do you have headphones? I think we're getting some feedback.
Right now. We're having technical difficulties. I apologize.
That's okay. Joe is putting on his headphones. You know, folks, are you there?
You know, I just spend all my life online. How could I be prepared?
No, I understand. All right, you sound great now. Joe Sudbay from America Blog. He and John Aravosis have been running America. I mean, I'm sure everyone who listens to this program knows America Blog. I would hope so. One of the top blogs out there, and two of the best activists, you know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of these guys. Let's put it that way. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam.
So now let's put aside for a moment this threat by the Republicans to filibuster everything
right
for the next couple of weeks unless Obama gives tax cuts to millionaires. Let's put that aside for a moment. And let's just pick up the story with the release of this report, which we all knew was coming. But just give everybody a sense of just sort of the timeline and the story that has led us to today in terms of this don't ask, don't tell policy.
Sure. Actually, the timeline goes back to the beginning of the year. The president announced in the State of the Union that he wanted to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell this year. It was a campaign promise. There had been a lot of pressure last year to take action on it, and nothing was done. He announced it in the State of the Union. A couple days later, in early February, Secretary Gates and Admiral Mullen announced at a Senate hearing that they supported repealing the law, but they were going to commission a study, and the study wouldn't be completed until December 1st. Now, the problem with that is it meant that, and I think part of the strategy in the White House was they wanted to push this off until after the elections, which is where we are right now. We saw that as a danger because even back in January and February, people were worried that we were going to lose seats in the House and in the Senate. And, you know, we'd
I think actually in January, it looked more likely that we were going to lose both the Senate and the
right,
House.
Right. So that raised a lot of concerns. So we kept... People kept the pressure up to try and force action. And that's when Get Equal was born. That in March of this year, Dan Choi and Jim Pietrangelo handcuffed themselves to the White House fence. Activism increased in April when people from Get Equal were heckling Obama about Don't Ask, Don't Tell at a fundraiser for Barbara Boxer. And six people handcuffed themselves to the fence in April. Along the way, Patrick Murphy, the Congressman Patrick Murphy, kept pushing and adding sponsors in the House. And Carl Levin really took seriously the idea in the Senate of pushing the repeal. At the end of April, the Pentagon chief, Robert Gates, sent a letter to Capitol Hill saying he didn't want any legislation passing on Don't Ask, Don't Tell until his report was done. That was really hurtful to us on a number of levels. Because it gave everybody a talking point. Everybody who didn't want to be with us had a talking point.
And you know that he doesn't do that without instruction from Obama.
Absolutely. I mean, he works for Obama.
Right.
So at the end of May, the Senate Armed Services Committee was debating the defense authorization bill. The Senate Armed Services Committee voted to include the Don't Ask, Don't Tell language. Jim Webb was the only Democrat to vote against it. Susan Collins actually voted to include the language. The committee then passed the bill out of committee, and Webb voted to pass the bill out of committee, as did Susan Collins and Scott Brown. That same day, the House passed the defense authorization bill on the floor and included an amendment offered by Murphy to add the language. So we get into the summer, and usually the Senate debates the defense authorization bill in July before they go home for the break. That didn't happen. They were supposed to debate it when they got back in September. John McCain led a filibuster, and some of our quote-unquote Republican champions, Susan Collins, voted with McCain.
Now, wait a second. John McCain. Now, he is the man. I remember this guy. He is the guy who said unequivocally that if the military had no problem with it, he would definitely repeal as president Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He said this before, back in 2008, right? I mean, I remember that guy now, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He said it in 2006 and reiterated it, of course. You know,
oh, so he said it twice. He said it multiple on multiple occasions. Okay, yeah. Okay. No, I remember that guy.
But we're dealing with the new and improved John McCain now, the one who is a radical right winger who, you know, I mean, I think he tried to out J.D. Hayworth during his primary this year. So we get into September, the defense bill doesn't move forward. That was a devastating blow,
right?
Very real big problem. Now, interestingly, you know, what did the White House do during that time? You know, this is the defense authorization bill that includes pay raises for troops, includes a number of weapon systems. It's a very important bill for the Pentagon. The White House didn't make a peep about it.
Now, the point being, when you say it's an important bill for the Pentagon, this is if the roles were reversed and the Republicans were in the Democratic position and vice versa, they would be using this relentlessly as a leverage. They would be using this relentlessly as a leverage.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You would have heard nonstop. You would have heard how the Democrats weren't funding the troops, how they weren't supporting the troops, how they were undermining our military in the time of war. Not a peep from the White House. The president didn't make any calls to senators. He didn't make any calls to wavering senators. He did, however, that same day that we lost, manage to make a call to the WNBA champs. And the White House actually sent out a notice of describing his call with the WNBA champs. That was on September 21st. So we're in a bad situation then, right? You know, the other thing that happened along the way that the Pentagon didn't expect was that the Log Cabin Republicans brought a lawsuit against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the law was found unconstitutional. The judge in that case actually issued an injunction against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a worldwide injunction saying it could no longer be enforced. The Department of Justice is appealing that, and they actually got a stay to prevent the injunction. But that's thrown a real wrench into the thinking of Gates and Mullen, because now they've got a court that's going to tell them probably very soon that they cannot.
Yeah, this is a very interesting dynamic here, because Gates is now worried that if a court gets rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that they're just going to have to just drop it.
Absolutely.
Just in one day. If the legislation passes, it at least gives them some time to, you know, I guess, comfort those, those people who are really worried, and, you know, give them, I guess, steel underwear so that they can't be accidentally penetrated or something, or whatever it is that they feel they need to do to bring these people into the 20th century. Never mind the 21st century, in understanding that, you know, gay people are not going to in some way hypnotize them. Whatever it is that they need, the lead glasses, so that the gay people can't hypnotize them with the eyes.
Right, right, because they have that power, apparently. I was unaware of those powers that the gays had. I apparently didn't get those gay superpowers. But
I'm not sure that all the gays get. I think it's just I think it's something like 35. I haven't seen the data. But but be that as it may, so Gates has a real vested interest in this passing. And here you have, now my understanding is like McCain and Lindsey Graham. Oh, excuse me. Could you guys just keep that door shut, please? I'm trying to do a show here. McCain and Lindsey Graham, seriously, shut that closet door. I'm sorry, we're in a small office and these guys don't know about sound. And so these two are...
You have a conversation about Lindsey Graham and closets in the same breath.
Wait,
because
you guys, please shut that door. I don't know what it is. All right, so sorry. So they're becoming sort of like almost the strongest opponents of this in some way, aren't they?
Yes, McCain has really taken on this mantle. I'll tell you something interesting, and some of your listeners may know. You know, Dan Savage started this amazing video program called It Gets Better, the It Gets Better Project, to talk about bullying.
Right.
And bullying prevention. A couple of weeks ago, the No Hate campaign sent out a video that included a number of stars. One of them was Cindy McCain. In the video, she talked about how young gay kids are taught that they're different by their government because they can't serve openly in the military.
Right.
So we thought that was very, you know, a great signal. The next day, Cindy McCain came out and said, "I absolutely support the position of my husband." So on one day, she was telling gay kids, you know, she was saying gay kids get bullied and commit suicide because the government tells them they're different. And the next day she joined on the bandwagon with her husband to say they're different. That was a really stunning and just...
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I thought she was doing this sort of like performance art, I think, entitled, this is a shorter John McCain.
Right. Well, one wonders what kind of bullying went on to get her to flip in those 24 hours. But that's
we all know those stories.
Right.
And I mean, so this is so what happens now? I mean, and the amazing thing is that we've seen now polling that suggests that a majority of Republicans, is that right, support the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It is really essentially the Tea Partiers and the conservative. It's the same 30% that voted for George Bush that are still against it. And aren't we at the point now where the only reason why a Republican senator, and it's really just the Republican senators, right? I mean, it's really just the Senate at this point and maybe one or two conservative Democrats.
Mark Pryor, for example, said he won't vote for any, the Democrat from Arkansas said he won't vote for any legislation that includes Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and he thinks homosexuality is a sin. But besides him, it's mostly Republicans. And they're, you know, the thing about the Republicans is it's all based on homophobia now.
That's what I was going to say.
There's nothing else. Nothing else.
There's no other, there's no pretense anymore, right? It's just, it's either they personally hate gays. Now, I don't know if Lindsey Graham hates gays. And I don't know if John McCain, you know, who's friends with Lindsey Graham, hates gay people. But they know that they are playing to their constituents who hate gay people.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if Lindsey Graham hates gays either. And, you know, that's a lot of people wonder about that. But they have taken up the mantle. And, you know, so there's a couple of Republicans, you know, Susan Collins, for example, again, we bring her up. She claims she's voted to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The question is whether she'll show any spine over the next couple of weeks and actually vote for equality, or whether she'll let Mitch McConnell call the shots and John McCain and let homophobia rule.
What's really going to be fascinating is if these politicians are asked directly this question. I mean, I was on, I can't remember what show it was, but with I think it was, you know, some Republican talker. I think it was Matt Lewis. I can't remember exactly who it was. But we were talking to this guy about, like, you know, what possible reason now when this survey was released or leaked, what possible reason would there be not to repeal the policy? I mean, the military has no problem with it. The leadership of the military desperately want it to be repealed. Nobody has a problem with this policy except for Republican senators. And the only thing the guy had was like, well, there's a lot of things to be worked out. Like what? Would chaplains have to marry gay men? Where would they live if they were married on base? How would you? It's just like the silliest sort of. They're just so desperately looking for, well, what if gay men like to have dogs? And where would you put all the new dogs on the bases? There needs time. We need time to do a study on what the impact of a lot of dog poo, if people don't follow pooper scooper laws. Do we need pooper scooper law? You know, it's all just, it's embarrassing for them now. And I actually think that it's shocking. There hasn't been more attempt by the administration to use this as a political tool.
You and me both on that one. This issue is as close to a no-brainer as you get politically. I mean, when you look at the polling, it's stunningly good. I mean, CNN has had polls show 75-78% of the American people think it's fine to let gay men and women serve openly. Even Dick and Liz Cheney, you know, you don't get much more right-wing than them. They're on our side. Yet the administration has not made this into an issue. They have not rallied. You haven't seen the president speak out on it. You have, you know, he sent out a paper statement yesterday or email statement, which was better than nothing, I guess. But they have not
it's
really.
So strange. Yeah, I mean, it really is so strange because, I mean, I understand. Look, I understand. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand his perspective of wanting social change like this to happen through legislation as opposed to the courts. I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. And I think it's a philosophy that he expressed even not necessarily on this, but in general before he was elected. But the idea now that you've been handed this incredible gift, where you can create a wedge issue amongst Republicans, because it's all going to be about social issues with these Tea Partiers going forward. The idea that you've been handed this incredible gift and you don't use it is just, I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's been incredibly frustrating. You know, I interviewed the president a couple weeks ago. I was part of that blogger panel, and you know, I asked him about Don't Ask, Don't Tell in a couple of different ways. He told me that he had a strategy for the lame duck session. I'm not seeing it yet. We've been told for the past 2 years that they had a strategy. The whole strategy seemed to be, let's get past these midterm elections. Well, we're past those midterm elections. And, you know, if this doesn't happen legislatively in the next couple of weeks, if the Senate doesn't, and it's got many hurdles. I mean, the Senate has to pass the defense authorization bill, then it has to go to a conference, and that has to pass, and the president has to sign it. There's a long way to go. If it doesn't happen, it won't happen for a long time, because, you know, the same Republicans are going to have much more power.
Right.
The Republicans in the House are just, they're scary. Americans should be very scared about the people who are taking over the House.
I couldn't. Very scary. Couldn't agree with you more on that. Well, maybe what he was talking about was when he said he had a strategy for the lame duck session. Maybe it was just on how to be lame.
Yeah.
Or there's been a lot duck. Of maybe I don't know.
There's been a lot of lameness out of the White House.
Joe Sudbay of America Blog, folks. I know you visit America Blog because I know how intelligent our audience is. But if the one or two of you stragglers haven't, do yourself a favor. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you, Sam.
We got to take a break, and when we're back, I will be talking to Martin Amori. He is a law professor at is he a law professor? Yes. Well, is he a law professor?
He is.
Oh, okay, they're good. And I'm going to see if I can get back into law school, because I don't know if this is working out for me. We'll be right back after this. We're back. Like I said, folks, big news day today, and on the phone is Marvin Amori. He is a tenure-track professor at the University of Nebraska Lincoln College of Law, where he helps lead a JDLLM, that's a legal master's program, in space and telecom law. Today, as we had mentioned yesterday, it was imminent, the agenda for the December 21st FCC meeting, which will deal with net neutrality, was released. And I think there's going to be a speech today by the FCC chair. And this doesn't look very good, does it, Marvin, for people who want an open and free Internet?
No, it looks very bad, actually. The speech has been released on the Washington Post website. And when you look at the details, it's full of loopholes. And I can go through the loopholes, but it's essentially something that AT&T and Verizon are happy with. And when you look at, you know, the AT&T blog post about his speech, they're very happy. When you look at the Verizon statement, they're also happy. And when you look at the consumer groups, they've been very disappointed.
Well, now let's go through this. I mean, the bottom line is what we're talking about. Let's define some terms here, because I'm not sure how savvy people are about what net neutrality means. But we're talking about right now, I can access Netflix, I can access iTunes, someone can access the majority report, all in the same way they could CNN's website or Hulu or anything else. And that is because we have net neutrality, where the people who control the pipes, as the late Senator Stevens would call it, or the tubes, aren't allowed to throttle one service over another. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The phone and cable companies that provide you access to the Internet can't control where you go on the Internet, or can't control which software companies can offer you things over the Internet.
And what these people who control the pipes, be it a Comcast or I guess an AT&T or a Verizon, they all have different delivery mechanisms. One is through cable, one is through phone lines. I guess they all have their own different ways. But they really, it is in their best interest to be able to determine what services you can access via their pipes and whether or not maybe drive you towards their services.
Yeah, exactly. They think they can make more money if they block some service that competes with the service they have. So Comcast sells you cable TV and Internet, and if you watch movies through Netflix, you might cancel your cable TV or you might stop paying for video on demand. And so they might want to block or discriminate against Netflix. AT&T and phone companies have the same incentive against Skype. And they just kind of want a cut of everything going on over the Internet that they haven't invented themselves. And so that's the innovation problem. There's also a free speech problem, which is these companies would be gatekeepers over where you could go on the Internet. And so if you wanted to go to, FoxNews.com for some bizarre reason, or CNN.com, they could actually have special deals with one news site over another, or maybe even special deals with one campaign over another, to make their websites load more quickly or their advertisements pop up across the Internet.
And that's, in fact, what's happening with Netflix right now, right? Comcast is squeezing one of the content delivery companies that Netflix uses and basically saying, you need to start paying us more money, which is another way of saying, I mean, of course, they're never going to block everything wholesale. Right? That's a fear, but what they'll end up using is they'll just end up using money as a means in which to block it.
They'll use money, they'll use blocking. They're just going to try to set up control. It'll be kind of like cable TV. Your cable company determines what channels are on your system. Or it'll be like the App Store, where Apple can determine what apps are in the iPhone App Store, except it'll apply to the whole Internet. And AT&T or Comcast will be determining which apps. And so the Netflix example, clearly Comcast doesn't want people watching Netflix. They want people paying for cable TV.
Right. And, I would say it's actually even worse than the App Store because Apple cannot be in the business of all those different types of apps that it presents. So it's in Apple's interest to allow a broader cross-section. At the end of the day, there's one reason why you watch stuff on TV, and that is, the variety is not that great. And so it's really, we're talking about three or four different types of mediums that we're going to be getting, either written word or audio content or video content. And it's very easy for Comcast to be involved in all those businesses.
Especially when they're buying NBC.
Right, exactly.
I think it's actually a huge threat to democracy as well as the economy to have just a few companies control what is the basic infrastructure for our economy and for our speech in the 21st century. I mean, it's like our electricity grid or our roads, but it's also speech.
Right, and now one of the big issues here, and this is a little bit weedy, but let's get in there so that people really understand what's going on here, because you see these articles that are written by the New York Times, and the Times article on the agenda for this the meeting on the 21st, outlines a proposal that sounds moderately sensible, but the bottom line here is that there's two types of classifications that the FCC works with. And one is for information providers and one is for communications providers. Tell us that distinction and how cable was reclassified under the Bush administration and what the implications of that are.
Sure. So I mean, the big picture point is, I mean, Julius Genachowski isn't going to announce, I'm abandoning net neutrality, right. I'm breaking Obama's campaign pledge, I'm siding with the biggest companies against consumers and citizens. And so it's sort of a subtle way that he's actually doing those things. So one point is there's a question of whether or not the FCC even has the authority to adopt this rule. And if the FCC bases their authority for this rule pretty much on mush, on a house's, you know, if they build their house on sand, it'll collapse. So the FCC, there are two different ways they could regulate. One, as you mentioned, is an information service. They could try to regulate what people call an information service, which can be anything from Twitter to Google to Facebook. And recently in April, the court said that the FCC doesn't really have much authority over companies like Twitter, Facebook, Google, if they're called information services. And the other way they can regulate is they can regulate over telecommunication services, sort of traditional two-way networks, phone networks, you know, I think internet networks. And that would be subject to a certain part of the act called Title II that is actually pretty robust. And
So in other words, you can look at the internet essentially as either, I mean, as an information service, which would be Title I, or a telecommunications service, which is Title II. And FCC statutorily has, and in terms of as determined by the courts, has a lot more authority to impose net neutrality if they have made the decision to classify something as Title II.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so the Bush administration in about 2003 to 2005 classified the internet as Title I. And so it's
used to
like
be Title II. Is that not correct?
It should be Title II, yeah.
Was it Title II prior to that?
It was Title II prior to that when it came to phone networks, and it was a little unclear when it came to cable.
Right.
But it should be Title II. And three justices of the Supreme Court said that the obvious answer was Title II, including Justice Scalia. But there was, because of the complications of administrative law, they let the FCC make the decision to classify it as Title I. And I mean, it's essentially getting rid of regulation through definition.
Right.
So when the financial crisis happened, one of the reasons why was because there was all this insurance being sold that wasn't classified as insurance, so it wasn't subject to regulation.
Right.
The Bush administration did the same thing when it came to the internet. They classified it as access to the internet as being more like Twitter and Facebook and unregulable and less like a two-way communications network that it always had been treated as.
And so now the FCC has it in its power to change the classification. There's been a lot of song and dance over the last couple of months about, you know, saying that the Congress should just simply write a statute and determine and impose net neutrality. But that's not going to happen, of course, because Verizon and AT&T have such power over our lawmakers because of money, essentially. So the FCC is in a position to come out and say Title II. That's basically been it. I mean, if somebody wanted to watch this and just wanted to be able to read two words in an article to know which way this was going, it's if the FCC says it's Title II, that means they have the authority to impose net neutrality. If they say we're going to keep it as classified as Title I, that means that they're attempting to make it look like they're exercising their authority, but they know they can't really do anything with teeth under Title I.
That is absolutely correct. In fact, it seems like they're going to do Title I, so there's no teeth. But it's possible they could do Title II and still find loopholes.
Right.
But if they say Title I, you know that even their general counsel, like the FCC's general counsel came out in May, a month after this court decision in April, explaining why Title I was pretty much a dead letter now. We needed to move to Title II. The chairman himself came out with a little video on YouTube explaining how we had to go to Title II. And it's only because of political pressure, not because of principle, that he would back down on that and go to Title I. And as you say, it would be a farce to build a rule on Title I.
Now, I have two questions for you.
Sure.
One, based on this agenda, he is talking about imposing certain restrictions on these companies. And In my mind, there's no reason to really go through these restrictions because it's all BS in a certain extent. I mean, they're all built to be built around or to be, you know, there's a clear path around all of these sort of regulations he's talking about imposing. But Ken,
yes.
If he imposes these regulations under the auspices of Title I without reclassifying, is there standing for anybody who it's not, you know, for someone like you or, you know, Free Press or some consumer advocacy group to come in and say this is illegitimate too because you don't even have standing under Title I to impose these sort of paper tigers, as it were. Is that one way, is that, if he goes forward with what he's announced, is that one way that that could be defeated and thrown and the ball thrown back into his court?
That's right. I mean, that's right. This rule will be appealed. I mean, what will end up happening, though, is if the FCC gets appealed and the rule gets thrown out, we're back to a situation without a rule. So we'll then have to get the FCC, we'll have to convince the FCC to make a rule then. And the calculation by the consumer groups will be, is this rule better than nothing? Should we appeal it or should we defend it? And the way the rule has been set out now, it's not much better than nothing.
All right,
I don't think it's worth giving the Julia Senikowski cover for this rule,
right,
for saying anything good about it if this is the rule, or for claiming this is fulfilling the Obama campaign promise. It's not.
So what do you want people to do at this point? Contact the FCC? The FCC seems to be very, very sensitive to pressure from consumers. I mean, relatively speaking, they seem to react to it.
They should call the FCC. I think, if I remember the chairman's number, it's something like 202. I forget the chairman's number.
Yeah, let's not give a wrong number. That would be bad. We will look up the chairman's number right now, and we'll give it.
Great. So they should call the chairman's office. They should call the White House, whatever number people call up the White House. I know Free Press probably has an action on this.
Okay.
But I would call the FCC's chairman's office, and I would call a congressman. But I would call the chairman's office first.
Right. There's nothing like direct action to let them know that there's a problem.
And people should blog about it. They should email their friends. They should talk about it. They should use the internet to save the internet. Right. There's a huge media empire on the other side, and there's people like you and people like your listeners, and people like me, who are trying to get the word out that this should be a solid rule to preserve the internet.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing, and you're in Lincoln, Nebraska, is that correct?
I am. I used to work for the group called Free Press. I was the lawyer who argued the Comcast case that was the one we lost around Title I. So that was my role back before I became a professor.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing. You ever been to that bar Charlie's in Lincoln?
I have not, but I'll look it up. It might be under a different name.
Oh, I don't think you. I don't think you want to go there. I just got thrown out of there with a buddy of mine. I have a famous barfly friend in Lincoln.
You should connect us.
Yeah. careful what you wish for. All right. Thank you very much. Hey, you do have a site, right? It's MarvinAmori.com.
Just Amori.org. AMMORI.org.
Amori.org. We'll link to it on the majority.fm site. And, of course, we'll also be posting the number for the FCC chair, and I'll be mentioning it in a moment when I get it. And thank you so much for joining us, Marvin.
Great. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. So there you have it. I've managed to get through the entire show without vomiting. And I think that speaks to the quality of the show. Most podcasts I either engage in or listen to, I find so sickening that I vomit. But today's, I didn't. Do you have his number? Do you have the chairman's number?
I have an email address for him. I'm looking around for a number still.
All right, well, give me the email address.
It is Julius Jenikowski.
Forget it. People are going to have to look at that. They're going to have to spell that thing. We'll get the phone number in a second. So when you're listening to this, if you're listening to us right now, live, or if you're listening on your phone later, or on your iPhone or your iPod or whatever it is, just give this guy a call. Just do it right now. We will give you the number right now. What are you looking at me for, Evan?
I'm
get the number.
I'm looking it up.
Well, we're going to get the number, so don't call right this minute. Wait for the number. This is actually, this may make me vomit. CNN reported yesterday, President Barack Obama told GOP leaders behind closed doors Tuesday that he had failed. Hold on for a second. That he had failed to reach across party lines enough during his first 2 years in office, according to a senior administration official. He promised to do a better job of bipartisan outreach in the days ahead. The president said he had to do better, and the president is ready to do his part. That's so wonderful! Oh, that's so sweet! So sweet! Gosh! Oh. John Bonaire came out of the meeting and said that Obama told him he didn't spend enough time working with the Republicans since taking office. Brock, you're here, but you're just like, your head's buried in your BlackBerry. And it's just like, I feel like you're here, but you're just a million miles away. And I've never felt so alone than when you're sitting here with me. Are you freaking kidding me? You know, the days in which I would go like, wow, this is a brilliant strategy. Yes. Extends his hand and has the shiv in the other. Except for now he's extending his hand, and in the other hand he just has a bouquet of flowers. Here, I brought you candy. And, of course, I don't know. Was it? How many minutes later was it? 5 minutes later? 10 minutes later? Republican Senate leaders sent a letter to Barack Obama. We will block all debate on all legislation until the tax cut impasse is bridged. In other words, we're going to filibuster everything until you give tax cuts for millionaires. But I thought, what happened? Okay. If you want tax cuts for millionaires, it's okay. I'll do it. What are you doing this weekend? Oh, you're busy? Okay. It's no big deal. Monday? How about just like, we just get, like, lunch or coffee? Okay, coffee's good. No, I'm busy, too. I just, you know, just 10 minutes. If I could just sit down, there's a couple of things I just wanted to tell you that, I don't even think, you know, if that was actually the dynamic, I would actually be happy. But you know, at this point, like, for Obama to reach across the aisle more, it's beyond reaching across the aisle to perform some type of, like, sexual act, okay? And I don't even have to go there at this point. You know, dim the lights, I'll reach across the aisle. And, you know, at this point, just become a Republican. And, you know, the reason why he won't is because they wouldn't take him. Why would they? This is working out perfectly for them. This is pathetic. This is pathetic. Even if you, I mean, I don't understand it. Is this guy so egoless that he doesn't care at all about his legacy? I mean, fine. I'm willing to stipulate for the moment that this guy's the most conservative right-wing neo-libertarian, you know, neo-liberal there can be. He's still going to be an embarrassment at this point. Or is it just maybe he's over his head, or the people surrounding him are absolute rookies? And that moron, Rahm Emanuel, I'll move to Chicago to vote against that douche. And my biggest complaint with Rahm Emanuel? Incompetent. A lightweight. No wonder that guy swears so much. Because if he couldn't yell at the top of his voice, fuck you, people would start to realize he's a loser. A total loser. All right. We're going to get going. I got a couple more stories, but forget this. We'll do that war and Christmas bullshit tomorrow.
I have the chairman's number.
Folks, call this guy. Jan Szczankowski. I can't pronounce his last name. It doesn't matter. You don't need to. Call the number.
It's Szczankowski, and should I give the number?
Yes.
It's 202-418-1000. So 202-418-1000.
202-418-1000. That's an easy number. 202-418-1000.
We'll put it on the website, too.
202. This, I mean, I know if you're listening, if you're on your iPhone, you're listening to your 202-418-1000. I have like dyslexia, and I can remember that number. Call, just say, I want Title II classification for internet providers. Anything else is a joke, and we know it. That's all you got to say. I want Title II for internet providers. Anything else is a joke, and we know it. Dorsey? You had that look like I can't dial the number. What are you, you calling the number and it's not the right number?
No. Nothing. I had an idea.
What's the idea?
We could create one of those petitions online, like the Bit.ly link.
Do an ACLY thing right now. We're going to send around an ACLY petition, sign it, and pass it around, folks. We'll do that right now. All right. I will take your IMs at Majority FM right after the show. Is the Sammy Cam working?
Not yet.
It's going to work when the Sinclair gets here.
Yep.
When the Sinclair, we posted the picture of the Sinclair making its way across the country. That is our new donated computer. It's going to be here any moment. When the Sinclair comes, it's going to be great.
High on the hill was a lonely goat herd. Lay, hood, lay, hood,
we're going to dance.
Loud was the voice of the
and
lonely goat
frolic.
Lay, hood, lay, hood,
all right, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment to answer your IMs.
A prince on the bridge of a castle moat heard lay.
After this. Oh, justcoffee.coop. Keep buying your coffee there. 10% off with coupon code Majority. And become a member of Majority Report. Please. It helps. No, it more than helps. It makes it possible. And we're not quite out of the woods yet, but... You know, we'll get there. Knock on.
I get somewhere the choice is made. For the option where you don't get paid. For the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive. Between the 101 and the 5. Takes you. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright.
All right, we are back. Wait, Sammy Cam, what was it? Sammy Cam is in effect.
No, we're working on it.
Okay. Oh, you guys need to turn up your volumes for the podcast just a little bit. Just a hair.
Ours or everybody's?
No, yours.
Okay.
I was listening on I got to say that Stitches was... I mean, it's probably... You know, what you should do is subscribe on iTunes, but then also still use Stitchers. Because you can use both. Because some you want to port with you on iTunes. But some, like, you know, when I'm out, and if you get on before the subway, I'm not exactly sure how this works. It's got a ping. If I get on before the subway with Stitchers, if I get, you know, I bring up the podcast of the day, and I'm on the subway, I can still hear it. But if you are in the subway and you try and connect with Stitchers, you don't get reception, you can't do it. Here, Dorsey, let me send you something, buddy. I'm gonna send.
Oh, I'm on Stitcher right now. I just logged in, and I selected.
No, I'm talking about for the Actly thing.
Well, I just want to let you know you're the number 3 behind Countdown, Rachel Maddow.
Wait, I'm what? I'm number what?
Number 3 for me to choose from. Like, it, as soon as it comes up.
Who's number 1 and 2?
Olbermann and Maddow.
What the fuck? Excuse me. I mean, with all due respect, I think they do fine. They got TV shows. They can't leave Stitchers to us. Really? Man.
At least not Marin.
Greedy. At least it's not Marin. At least it's not Marin. Okay, I feel better.
Well, this is the politics liberal progressive section that I
call. Oh, where's Marin?
Comedy section.
Hey, man, the comedy section. That's a much easier one to... like to see what happens to Marin's podcast when Seinfeld comes out. Seinfeld's not going to be doing a podcast. It'll be about his cars or something. Is he like one of those guys that was like 100...
in New York, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that. The whole... here, dude. I'm going to send you something. Where the frickin' frick? Do you know what to say on that Ackley thing?
No, I don't. I need all right. That stuff.
Do you have IM? I'm going to IM you.
I'm not in there yet.
All right. I know, folks. This is not entertaining. This is not entertaining at all, particularly if you're listening to the podcast right now. I mean,
did you
maybe.
Email it?
I just IM'd you because I'm in the middle of doing a show.
All right.
Theoretically. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I vomited before this show today, folks. And I still can't get a little bit of help from the... what is that, Steve? Excuse. Man, I'm
that'd
old.
Be a good 360.
What, that excuse me?
That's Steve Martin, right?
Yeah, actually, it would be a good 360 now because, like, people are like, it's Steve Martin? Is that, you know, it's...
he's funny.
Like, to me, that like, it's like, oh, God, seriously? It's so old. So hacky, but it's actually come back around. Tim Johnson, if the euro gets worse and the dollar gets worse, asset prices will inflate. See gold, Picasso's, silver, ancient Roman antiques, and coins. Oh. Wow. Who has such things? Answers, Rockefeller, Getty's, Inc. Well, you have coins. You have... what is this? It's going to be my mom or something. Oh. Somebody doesn't know I do a show. Neffer, won't be here tomorrow. Have a hair appointment. Oh, sending you a virtual pot of peppermint tea to help your stomach. A virtual pot of
It's for your virtual stomach.
Oh, happy Hanukkah to you too. Great. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. AOL system message. Yes, you're now signed in. I got that. Thank you. Gatteron, do I get any bling for becoming a member? Of course. You will not receive confirmation from us. Yet. Soon. This is how you can reach me, or you can reach me at majorityreporters@gmail.com. In the next day or two, I'll be sending out a member's email. In the next day or two. Yesterday you said you wanted a douchebag sound clip, and here's a nice George Sulutkai clip calling out anti-gay bully Clint McCann. Oh, sweet! Fantastic. Thank you, Kenny. Where is this? Let's see. You ready?
That's right. A douchebag.
All right. Fantastic. Send again, Dorsey. Seriously?
No, I got it. It's just everything's running a little slow.
Oh. You did get it.
I did get it. Oh. It asks me who the petition at. If who? They don't have a Twitter account, I can still do it.
Who to petition at?
It starts off, it says petition, and then has a box that says at. That's where I'm supposed to put in who we're supposed to be.
Well, see if the FCC has a Twitter account. And then if not, I would say forget it. Bruce, AIM, for reasons I can't see, has decided to send my full name on post. Not what I wanted. Oh! All right, fair enough. Sorry, it's BCC Pipes! Of course.
Wow, I remember that name.
Yeah. Oh, I still have my nose. I just saw it, too. My nose flute. I'll bring it in tomorrow. BCC Pipes sent me a nose flute. And save the Sammy sick in a jar. It's here. It's very put. Rainy Rhodes is the first to spew on air. Wow. Todd Slater. Yes, Lindsey Graham's closet door is back. And poor Jeff didn't know what was going on. Every show brings me a new reason to be glad that you're broadcasting in. Oh, why, thank you, sir. Thank you. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, very sweet of you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Cry, Pope Phil. When users pay additional costs for speed and volume from companies like Comcast or AT&T, how can they charge a service when the users pay for independent... pay for independent of the company? Why, when users pay additional costs for speed and volume from companies like Comcast, how can they charge a service the users pay for? Yes. Well, I mean, right. You know, we're buying wider pipes. Isn't that the point? Isn't that why you buy wide pipes from Comcast as they throttle your lower pipes? I hate. Is the Sammy Cam working, Tour 6?
Not yet.
Alas, no. Got to wait for the Sinclair. Erica Camembert. Hey, I didn't vomit during the show either. Well done. Thank you. I'm happy now. Sam, can you help me? Since hearing about tax cuts and the freeze, I've been terribly discouraged about the whole deal. I'm done with Obama and feel pretty hopeless about our democracy. Can you give us some words of wisdom or reason to have any hope? I know you're not a therapist, but you do have the ability to soothe. Sorry, your tummy is pukey. So you responded, but I need more. Well, it could be worse. You could be on the opposite end of our foreign policy. How's that? I don't know. Right now, these days, I'm feeling pretty jaded. What's that Grateful Dead song, you know? After the rain, you need a little rain for, I don't know. April showers bring May flowers. You got to hang in there. I don't know what else to say. I mean, if it ain't going to get better, it's not going to be more helpful to just delude yourself, I guess. I mean, look, if we spend the next, you know, and I hope to be doing this show for, what's today? December 1st? I hope to be doing this show for, you know, about another 20 years. And, you know, if we end up just chronicling how it goes to hell in a handbasket, the upshot is, it'll be on the internet. So all I need is a internet connection in my bunker. And as you guys are all scattered around, you'll be able to, if you can figure out a way of charging your iPhones when after the apocalypse, you'll be able to listen to the show. Dorsey will be walking the road like that movie, and Evan's gonna be like that guy, like, you know, who's, they find him and they're gonna shoot him and kill him, and then he's like, but I can fix that.
You know, like a fix, like they're about to kill him, and, you know, and they've got some problem with the car. It's like a Mad Max scenario, and they've got some problem with the car, and they're just like, oh, who's that guy? Let's kill him. And Evan goes, but wait, you have a problem with your carburetor, and I can actually fix that if you have a piece of straw.
The Sammy Kim is now back up.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks. See that? See? See?
Don't be a putz. Phone number, 202-481-1000. Thank you. Don't be a putz. Hey, Sam, I've been promoting the show behind the scenes. Please give a shout-out to your new listeners, Claire and Roni, at the Jewish Home on West 106th Street. Claire, Roni, I want to be the first to wish you a happy Hanukkah. Or the first person you've listened to on the Internet today to wish you a happy Hanukkah. It is the Festival of Lights. It will begin tonight. I have not gotten a present yet for Nikki. Myla's getting a little bit too present-oriented for my taste. It's a lot of like, hey, can I get that Dora doll, sweetie? We'll see. Who's this now? Now, people do not listen to me. I know that who that guy was, and I told him, well, after one, I'm available. Pluger. Why? Turn off your phone, Sam. Why are you being so... Listen, I have incredible stomach cramps. I'm surprised I'm even doing the show today. Evan, you didn't think I was going to make it.
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
I always know that. Whenever I'm sick, I feel better while I'm doing the show. And then as soon as I turn off the microphone, I will be writhing in pain on the floor. Pluger, I'm getting to the point where I would almost enjoy this, the suffering the Republicans are going through to put Obama through if it weren't for all the collateral suffering. I missed it earlier. What's the significance derivation of the Sinclair? The Sinclair is the name of our new computer, which has been sent to us. It's named after the person who donated it to us. And it is winding its way through the country. You can actually see, I'll update it today, right, Dorsey?
Yes.
But you can see the tracking device. I think it was in Indianapolis yesterday, wasn't it? Is that where it was?
Yep, Indianapolis.
And we'll see where it is today. We'll post it on the blog at majority.fm. Upbeat Nihilist. Why not suggest a holiday bonus for Majority FM? Makes a great gift. Yes. Any way you could put together a best of Catherine Harris shows? Oh, yeah. Oh, heard you mention Catherine and the douche yesterday. And almost made me drive off the road. I wonder if I have that. Hold on for a second. What is it? Morning Zoo. Yes, I will. Actually, that is exactly what I will do. I will put... I do. I have it. I'll play it. Here's a little bonus for you.
A blessed morning. Now, get ready for this world's most rapturous morning show crew. Unlace your shoes, turn off the oven, and put your car in park. Because you're about to shoot up into the sky and sit on the right hand of the Lord. Unless you're Jewish or gay. It's the morning show on WAKO The Q. Starring your host, Pink Sugar Senator Catherine Harris. John the Baptiste.
That's weird.
Oh. And the Goof.
I guess it was the Goof. Not the douche. Okajik. Not a Howard Stern fan, but Obama reminds me of that pathetic video Gary Delabate made to his ex-girlfriend. I lost my lover and my best friend when you broke up with me. So if you want to get married, call me. Or words to that effect. Obama has been the worst thing for progressives. I fear his squandering of circumstances has made it unlikely that any progressive agenda will ever happen. That will be his legacy. Also, no vid or audio on Sammy Cam. Yes, I know. Obama's depressing. Please do some Bush and make me laugh. Wait till you see what Dorsey has for you guys. Right?
Yes.
Harold, what happened to the sound? Novim. What happened to the sound?
That's not good. Dorsey, check the feed. See if it's...
Uh-oh.
We're still broadcasting.
Okay, we're still broadcasting. You know what happened to the sound? Your computer went offline. Did you get my email about starting a cafe press for the show? I'd like to help out if you're interested. Ooh, yes. Just lost the show feed.
That's strange.
At 12:41.
That was 10 minutes ago.
Dorsey, do you have it?
Yeah,
oh, earlier it was cutting out. Interesting.
Huh. If people are having problems with it cutting out, Kyle said, I don't know what they're listening to it on, but if you listen to it on something like iTunes or Winamp or something, it'll pre-buffer better than the on-site player. So if it starts kicking out for you, I mean, let us know. We'll see what we can do to fix it. But try using iTunes or Winamp or a sort of a separate program rather than the browser.
There you go. Interesting. We'll be in touch, Optimal Tomatoes. We got, who was it that sent us that thing? Ears? That thing I forwarded to you? That was awesome.
Yeah.
Comic?
Yeah, we've got some great graphics, and we've got, and, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to build a page, and we're going to put all these graphics on there, and we're going to credit everybody who's made them so that people can see there's some great, great graphic-ers.
Who sent you the Social Security shirt?
Yeah, that's, thank you for reminding me. Who sent me the Social Security shirt? You're from Sacramento. Somebody sent me a Social Security shirt. And it didn't say who it was from, but it's an awesome shirt. It's a collared shirt, which is my new thing now. I wear collared shirts. I've been wearing collared shirts now for a couple of years. But I'm actually even upgrading, you know, because I'm doing Parker Spitzer today, and occasionally, you know, I'm trying to present myself a little bit better because I'm getting older, and just the shock that Myla registers, like when I put on like a sport coat or something, has made me feel like, oh, I should really get my act together a little bit. iTunes went out for about 5 minutes ago, but the blog player is still working now. Huh, interesting.
Huh.
Are you going to post your Dylan Radigan appearance? I'm listening on iTunes, and it cut out also. Huh. So maybe it was an iTunes issue. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's everything's at our end.
Yeah, I am going to post that Radigan appearance. Wait, we did, didn't we?
It's on the Facebook page.
It's on the Facebook page. We should probably put it on the Majority Report page. But, you know, right now we're going to redesign the Majority.fm page so that we can post stuff like that more freely without sort of messing with the order of the podcasts. Right? Wow. I listened on the VLC player. Stream also cut out at me around that time.
Huh.
We had a universal meltdown. Well, folks, it is time for me. Oh, wait. We got a little more time. Spayef, I've noticed that Randy is the only progressive talker who keeps defending Obama. She keeps citing that he has to go through the legislative process. She seems to skip over things like the courts handing him a gift on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then choosing to appeal their decision. Well, look, you know, like I said to Joe Sudbay, I remember a quote of Obama's. Not a quote, actually. It was an audio recording. Was being interviewed on some show, and I remember because the right-wingers were playing it over and over and over again. And he was talking about, I think, the redistribution of wealth. But he was saying that he felt that there were certain things that he did not think behooved social movements. I can't remember, but the gist of it was that he felt that the courts, by going through the courts, to as a means in which to make social progress was often ineffective and often resulted in backlashes that were problematic. And this is he said this years and years and years ago. So I am sympathetic, may be the wrong word. I understand why he would prefer to go through a legislative process. I understand. In other words, there's some rationality that I can see. Well, I guess that Stitcher's works, huh, Dorsey?
Don't tell me. Tell them. They heard that part.
It works.
And so I can understand Obama, you know, on that that accord. But there's so many other things that I think are problematic. And you know, look, if she wants to defend Obama, defend Obama. I mean, against what? You know, it's like, what are you defending Obama against? You know, I would be happy to be helping Obama fight Republican obstructionism. I would be happy to help promote Obama's progressive agenda. If I saw one. I get emails from people who are like, yeah, it's all your fault we have Obama. First of all, I got news for you. I don't think Hillary Clinton, even now, would be any better. I mean, maybe from a rhetorical standpoint, things might be a little bit better. I doubt from a policy standpoint. It may be worse even from a policy standpoint. Rhetorically, they may be better. I mean, it's hard to imagine them worse. But I just, you know, the bottom line is Obama was definitely the best bet. I still contend he was the best bet. But you can make good bets and still lose. Dorsey, do you gamble?
Never.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a Mormon?
No, I just know I'm going to lose, so why bother? I don't bet on anything unless I know I'm going to win. So gambling, I had fun at a roulette table once, but that's about it.
Right. Do you gamble, Evan? You're never going out to AC?
I play some poker. I try to avoid the Jersey Shore as much as possible, given my Jersey heritage.
Oh, I like it down there. I'm in the seaside.
Bradley Beach?
I don't know what that means.
It's like Bayonne South.
Oh. Well, here's the bottom line, is that there is a book. There is a way, in just about every circumstance, of how you're supposed to bet at blackjack. And you can bet the right way and still lose. And that's, you know, what happened, I think, in terms of Obama, frankly. I've noticed, let's see, Taurusy, new reason for GOP to oppose, don't ask, don't tell. What is it? Oh, the Marines, right. Yeah. A survey of military personnel found that nearly two-thirds of the people whose primary function is combat operations think repealing don't ask, don't tell would hurt their unit's ability to fight. So now it's not just the military. Now it's we're down to the actual soldiers or Marines. Effing ridiculous. Effing ridiculous. It's cutting out. Let's see. Thanks for the Sinclair explanation. I assumed it was tongue-in-cheek reference to the worst computer ever made, the Timex Sinclair, a $99 personal computer from the 80s. Huh.
That would be more apt for the current system.
Right. That's exactly what we have now. Hurray, Popville. Find a place to live in South America because this one's headed for the shitter. Sam, most of the Marines I knew weren't gay because they didn't kiss. It's like that quote up front, like, I think it's because we tend to recruit a bunch of macho guys and gals. Policy-wise, Obama has realized my fears of a Hillary Clinton presidency. Yeah, well, I mean, his entire economic team was Clinton's economic team. Let's see. I used a standalone player for the show audio, and it's been reliable. PC, not Mac. Okajik. And Jimmy, federal politics are going to stink up no matter how you slice it. Better avenue for change is local. Check your darn email. Listen to the man named Reefer Cake. I will check it. Isn't a Gatoron? Isn't Macho Gal
possibly a lesbian.
Don lights on Marblehead. Yeah, I think if you're going around saying, like, we hire a lot of macho gals here, and we don't like any gays. Our macho gals don't like any gays running around. Right, girls? That's right. The macho gal grunts don't like any gay walking around here. We don't like faggos hanging out around here. Right, girls? Right, gals?
Kevin semicolon. Ross Broccoli, when's he going to be on the show? We'll get it. You know what? I'm going to call Brock. We'll do. He's like a super casual Friday guest. Like almost one we should do on a Sunday. All right, folks. Got to run. My boss's partner is an ex-Marine. He was in a commando hit squad in Iraq and very gay. What does that mean, very gay? Like, this guy would be gay constantly. Is like, that guy's super gay, like so gay, like he'll have like gay sex with three men at a time. He won't even do one man at a time, only three. That's how gay he is. Yeah, I don't know. The Republicans will find some reason to justify it, but hopefully somebody could use it as a gain some political advantage out of it, but who knows. All right, folks, I will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow on the program, we have... Who do we have tomorrow? Nobody yet?
I don't think we know.
Oh, it's going to be a mystery. Don't have the suspense button. Went to reach for it, didn't have it on 360. All right, folks, see you tomorrow. If you can become a member, it would be much appreciated. Your support helps us do our job, and we'll hopefully keep Evan and Dorsey here. We can only do dollar lunch for so long. All right, talk to you later.